Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Thank you for listening on the Odyssey app or if you're watching us on YouTube. We also want to thank our friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling experts for Thanksgiving. And we'll talk about Browns topics that will aggravate your family if you want to bring them up. But I want to go back to the Jameis Winston effect, a nice little genre that you brought up before we went to break. What do you got?
Well, so in the first seven games, the Browns offense was scrapping together about 15, 16 points per game, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the four games since, with Jameis Winston at quarterback, the Browns offense now is scoring just under 20 points per game. So, yeah, I'd say 5 points is a pretty significant bump, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Okay. Significant. Anytime you get closer to 20, I'm happy.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson was throwing for an average of 164 yards per game in his seven starts. In Jameis Winston's four starts, he's already surpassed Deshaun Watson's passing yardage this year. And
in four starts?
Yes. So if you weren't depressed by that, right?
Yeah.
Winston is averaging 296 passing yards, just under, or 296 passing yards per game. It's like 295 and, you know, point something. So that just gives you the stark contrast between the two, which leads me to potentially have to retract an earlier take that I had about just firing people just to make, you know, folks happy. And
wait, are you saying you're sorry to folks that are out there now?
I might have to.
Daryl Ryder, I want you to. This is Daryl Ryder Presents. He's sorry. Daryl, what are you sorry about?
I'm sorry for asking for people to be fired.
Oh, dear.
When it turns out that maybe the whole problem is the one person that needs to be fired is the quarterback that makes $230 million over 5 years. Because what we're seeing is with him not on the field, the offense runs a lot better.
Did we see that last year with Joe Flacco? Like everyone saw that last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're scoring more, they're gaining more yardage, they're better in situations and execution. And I am, I'm just thinking that maybe it's all Deshaun's fault at this point.
Really?
And I might just have to point the finger at number four.
And for everything.
Yeah.
Should Amari Cooper be pointing the finger at number four then too?
Well, the number four is a big reason why Amari Cooper hated being here.
Yeah.
Right.
But he did love playing with Joe Flacco, didn't he?
I mean, Jerry Jeudy has emerged with Jameis. We've seen Cedric Tillman emerge with Jameis at quarterback, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I hate to break out the jump to conclusions, Matt, here. Deep Office Space reference there.
I'm with you.
But it's looking like that the problem might not be the coaches.
It took you this long to figure that out? Because I think everybody else
that. No. It's just now I feel comfortable saying it. I'm not really worried about hurting anybody's feelings or anything.
So like just in 1 minute without, because I know this is a whole show, fix it for the Browns. How do they fix that next year? If what you're saying is true and the front office believes it's true, fix it. How do you fix it?
Don't play them.
That's all they're going to do.
Don't play them. Don't play them. 52-man roster if you have to. Don't play him. Plain simple.
backup?
No, you probably aren't going to. You're not going to compete at the level that you expect to by having an elite quarterback, right?
Right.
But just don't put that guy on the field and your offense will at least be watchable. Because that's what this comes down to, right?
Right. I mean,
the offense now is watchable. They went 4-for-4 on fourth down the other night. They still suck on third down, but like they move between the 20s. They have more scoring opportunities with Winston on the field. Receivers, are getting, better targets and able to catch the ball easier, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's just simple. Don't play Deshaun next year. That's it. You're going to have to probably sacrifice. You already sacrificed this year. You're probably going to have to sacrifice next year. Winston was asked about coming back next year, and he said it's not something he's really thought about. But
really? You really think he hasn't thought about that at all?
But
really?
He has felt like, Cleveland has embraced him, and he's embraced Cleveland, and he really enjoyed the snow game and, all that kind of thing. So here's my concern at this point. Jameis might price himself out of the Browns' budget.
Jeff and I have been saying that every week. Like, the better he plays, the odds of him coming back, I think, get slimmer and slimmer. Someone else is going to want him, and he might have a chance. Although, if you tell him he's going to start here, that might make a difference. He could still make maybe more money as a backup on another team if they've got the cap space to do it. So,
right.
I find that super interesting. All right, I want to get in. That was the bad news. Let's talk about the good news. Myles Garrett was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And, man, he looked so good before the snow started falling. So, he really took control of a lot of things. And we know he has the ability to do that. We've known that since day one. So, what did you think about Myles' accolade, and what were they saying in Berea about it?
Well, I mean, the first sack came like on third down and resulted in a longer field goal attempt that was missed. The second one was a strip sack fumble recovery. And then the third one ended the first half. So they were impactful sacks. It wasn't just I got this from the league office. They sent this out.
A bill?
Are you ready for what Myles Garrett is in line to do this season?
Tell me, my friend, tell me.
Here we go. So Garrett now is four sacks away. He's got 10, needs to get to 14 to become the first player to reach the mark in four consecutive seasons. Garrett also can become the third player since 1982 to get 13 sacks in five or more of his first eight seasons, joining Reggie White, who did it seven times, and TJ Watt, who did it five. He can become the second player to reach 12 sacks in five straight seasons, joining Lawrence Taylor. You've heard of him.
Wow. From
1985 to 1989. He can become the fourth player to reach 10 sacks in seven or more of his first eight seasons, joining Reggie White, eight, Von Miller, seven, DeMarcus Ware, seven. He needs to get to, he's 1.5 sacks shy of 100 career sacks, which would make him the fourth fastest player to do that, passing guys like DeMarcus Ware, you've heard of him.
Yes.
Only Reggie White and TJ Watt have done it faster. He can become the fifth player with at least 100 sacks in his first eight seasons, joining Reggie White, DeMarcus Ware, Jarrett Allen, and TJ Watt. And it's a lot. He can become the first player with 100 career sacks prior to his 29th birthday. Garrett turns 29 on December 29th. That is to put in perspective the greatness that is Myles Garrett. I know that was a lot for folks to listen or watch.
Right.
But I wanted to read all that for a specific purpose, and that was to just really illustrate the greatness that we have seen from Myles Garrett. And it's just, once again, why I have no interest. You could offer me all the draft picks in the world. I have no interest whatsoever in trading that man.
I'm with you. Why would you ever, that always bothers me when we're like, oh, we're going to trade good talent because contract this, or we're going to stink. So we should, that's just such a loser's mentality. I can't stand it. If you've got a good player, why wouldn't you hang on to him? So I agree with you. I'm glad he won the award this week. And he, it's something to watch. Excuse me.
By the way, the fourth time in his career, he's won the weekly award.
So, you would probably think he's going to have a chance to win the the big thing too at the end of the year too.
Yes, Paul Stefanski said, he goes, hey man, I don't have a vote, but you know, just you run out of things to say when you watch him week to week and what he has to deal with. Holding calls that don't get called.
Yeah, never get called. You're right.
Totally. He never draws holding flags. And I think I've said this on the podcast before. So we have two licensed picture services that we use as a station,
right,
for our website and for station-owned social media. I can't use them on mine, but you'll see them on, if you follow 92.3 The Fan on any of our social channels, any picture. So every week when I search Myles Garrett for like the latest Myles Garrett photo, there's at least three photos of him being held. or they're tugging, or, you know, like no flags, but every week good for 3 to 5 photos of Myles Garrett just being blatantly held by offensive linemen and tight ends with no flags called. And yet he's able to just power. He gets the LeBron treatment, right? Remember?
Exactly. Especially when he was like in his first, second year, LeBron got it.
Early in LeBron's career, he would go through 5 guys hitting him as he's rolling down the lane. No fouls would be called and he'd still finish at the rim. Right. And that's the treatment that Myles gets. And it's just, and I guess it's one of those things. If you could get real flag happy real fast with it, but I just feel like you got to do it at least once a game to keep opposing offensive linemen honest, right? Just throw at least one holding flag a game.
It deserves. It's not going to happen though. It's not going to happen, Daryl.
No, I can't remember the last time Myles Garrett drew a holding flag.
Because it's just because it could happen on every play. All right, let's do this. Let's come back. I want to
plays and no flag gets thrown. But yeah, so that whole spiel I went through, that just gives you a glimpse of just the greatness that is Myles Garrett and how historic his career is. And someone please go get TJ Watt a tissue, will you?